Baba. Welcome Jesus. Somebody welcome Jesus. The healer is here. The healer is here. Welcome Jesus the healer. Welcome Jesus the healer. Welcome Jesus the healer. Receiving Jesus is receiving healing. Welcome Jesus the healer. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Everywhere Jesus goes, healing flows. Everywhere he goes. Matthew 4:23. Everywhere Jesus goes, healing flows. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue. Everywhere he taught, there was a touch. I'm preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and in the process, healing all manner, including your own, all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people he went to. Everywhere Jesus goes, healing flows. Everywhere Jesus taught, people are touched. This morning, Jesus is here. Is your Jesus here? If he is here, healing is here. Deliverance is here. God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good. Healing. Everywhere he went, healing took place. And I'm here representing him this morning with all of my co-laborers, representing Jesus here this morning. You are receiving your healing now. Somebody raise your voice, begin to declare, Jesus is here, healing is here, Jesus is here, miracles are here, Jesus is here, deliverance is here. Raise your voice, make your declaration, Jesus is here, and therefore healing is here. Everywhere he goes, healing flows. Jesus is here, healing is here, Jesus is here, miracles are here, Jesus is here, life is here. Jesus is here. Miracles are here. Raise your voice. Declare it loud. Jesus is here. Healing is here. Jesus is here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, something is happening to someone here this morning. Woo! Hallelujah. Well, wave those beautiful hands and thank God for bringing you this morning. Thank him from the depth of your heart for bringing you here this morning. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him for bringing you here. Thank him for bringing you here. Thank him. Oh yeah. And as we worship in your presence, there is healing. The Holy Spirit gentle touch is flowing. Jesus, I receive, I believe. And as we worship in your presence, there is healing. Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gentle touch is flowing. Jesus, I believe. As we worship in your presence, there is healing. The Right now, in Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. Say loud amen, somebody. Get excited as you get seated this morning. A big hand for Jesus. Hallelujah. If you are blessed, say I'm blessed. If you are healed, say I'm healed. If you are strong, say I'm strong. It is my year of breaking limits. Joyfully, I welcome you to this special anointing service this morning, which is also our healing banquet. Banquet means take what you want. Take as much as you want. Take as many times as you want. This morning, say with me, I'm taking my own. Say it one more time. No one will hinder you in the name of Jesus. The prophetic focus for the month of September 2020 is godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness means living like God, living as God, living the God kind of life. That's godliness. And God kind of life is void of sin, void of sickness, void of pain, void of poverty. Whatever is not God-like hanging around your life leaves you now. Let your amen show that you believe. In this second service, we will continue with our teaching series, Understanding the Cost and Cure of Ungodliness, Part 3. Ungodliness is very costly. When I hear somebody say that for giving your life to Christ, you don't lose anything, I tell them that's not true. There are many things I lost for giving my life to Christ. I lost sickness. I lost immorality. When you give your life to Christ, you lose many things, many negative things. You lose affliction. You lose sorrow. You don't know how to be sorrowful again when you give your life to Jesus. And that's what makes godliness profitable. I gave my life to Jesus for the purpose of profit, not losses. You don't lose giving your life to Jesus. Except negative things that you get lost from your life. I'm grateful to God I knew Jesus early. Before age 16, I gave my life to Jesus. Decades now, and I've had not one regret for it. Jesus is sweet. Jesus is fantastic. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is gracious. Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is friendly. Jesus is everything that you'll ever need. The cost of ungodliness includes, number one, failure and defeat. If you live in sin, you have signed in for defeat, even though you belong to victory. Giving your life to Jesus entitles you to victory. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. You are to live an overcomer's life when you give your life to Jesus. But if you live in sin, that victory becomes defeat. Because the one who makes the victory happen in you cannot stay with sin. Step into sin and God will step out of your life. Step into sin, victory will step out of your life. Example. In Deuteronomy, in Numbers chapter 22 and chapter 23, a great king called Balaam hired a prophet called Balak to curse the children of Israel. And he did all he could to curse them. They were uncursable. Numbers 23, how shall I curse them whom God has not cursed? Verses 7 and 8, they were uncursable. They were uncursable. Why? God was in the midst of them. And then verses 19 all the way to 23 of the same chapter. See what happened. The reason why they could not be cursed. God is not a man that he should lie, neither is the son of man that he should repent. As he said, and shall he not do it? As he spoken, shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he had blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Look at verse 21. Why were they not cursable? He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Wherever there is blessing, it's an indication that sin is out. Anywhere blessing is removed, iniquity is there. Iniquity is the invitation to curses. Look at that verse again. Because he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. Therefore, the Lord is God is with him. And the shout of a king is among them. God is there when sin is not there. God is out when sin is there. Make your choice to stay with sin or to stay with God. Now, these same people that were uncursable, look at verse 23. Verse 23. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither any divination against Israel. According to his, this time it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what hath God wrought? Somebody say amen. Amen. When Balaam saw he could not curse them, he did something in chapter 25, verse 1. Come with me quickly. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Verse 2. And they called the people unto sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. Verse 3. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. When there was no iniquity, God was there. When iniquity came, God was angry with them. Sin leads to defeat. We don't have the time, but read the remaining part of the chapter and saw the evil that came upon them for stepping into sin. Stepping into sin is stepping into defeat. Number two cost of ungodliness is shame and reproach. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts. It exalted Joseph. It exalted Daniel. It exalted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But sin is a reproach. It brought reproach to Samson. Samson the mighty became Samson the playboy. Samson the treasure became Samson the toy. Every time you play with sin, you end as a toy in the hand of the devil. A toy. Reproach. Judges 16, 23, 25 to 25. Before then, because Samson will not control his eyes, they removed his eyes. Anything you don't control will be taken from you. Control your eyes or you lose your eyes. He couldn't remove his eyes from the harlot. So they helped him to remove the eyes. They removed the eyes since he could not control the eye. Anything you don't like, God has blessed you with eyelid to blink your eye. It doesn't take more than 1 second. If you don't want to do something, what do? You close your eyes. You blink, you close your eyes. That's why God blessed you with the eyelid. If you cannot control your eyes, you will lose your eyes. The treasure became a trash in the hand of the Philistines. This same Samson could kill 1,000 people at once. He could remove the gate of a city and take it to the mountain where they cannot recover it. But when sin came, the Spirit of the Lord left him. He didn't know. The Bible says, as before time, Samson said, yes, yes, yes. The thing that used to move him have left. The thing that used to fight has left. Listen to this. Sin is power leakage. Sin is fire quencher. Sin is a sinker. You know how a big ship can sink? Little hole. Pain hole. Pain hole is more than enough. It's only a matter of time the ship will sink. Sin is a reproach. It may take a while, but when it manifests, you will know. Zechariah chapter 3, there is a story of Joshua, the high priest. The high priest that stood before the Lord. There is no exemption. Whether you are pastor or governor or senator or CEO or CMD or whatever you are, if you live in sin, you will end in reproach. You are a bishop, a bishop, whatever title you have cannot exempt you. Joshua the high priest stood before the Lord and Satan stood by his side. Look at that. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to do what? To resist him. To resist him. Why did Satan come? Satan came to him because he had the property of Satan. Look at verse 3 and verse 4. He was putting on filthy garment. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garment. High priest, clothed with filthy garment. Pastor, telling lie. Pastor, deceiving members to collect money from their hand. Filthy garment. He stood before God, but Satan said, I will follow you there. And God couldn't tell the devil to stop following him. Can anybody stop you from going to your bank if your money is there? No. Nobody can ask, what are you looking for? You are looking for your money. Your money is there. So if sin is in your life, Satan's investment is in your life. And he has the right to come. Until sin goes, Satan cannot go. He has the right to be there. He stood before him to resist him. That's why the church of Jesus has become weak. We are still dancing, we are still jumping, we are still preaching, but the power is not there again. Why? Sin is there. Until sin goes, our signs will not flow. You know what I'm talking about? Those things you do in your room, you know the things now. The things you put under your pillow. The things you put under your the steering in your car. That you say your mother gave you to be protecting you. The kalo you are doing. The pool you are paying. The betting you are doing. You don't believe in Jesus to supply your needs again. You are looking for fast way. The 419 you are doing. Until they go, you will end in reproach. Number three, cost of ungodliness. Fear. This is what many people are plagued with today. Many people are living under fear. Proverbs 28:1. The sinner, the wicked, flee when no man persuadeth him. But the righteous is as bold as lion. People run away from God that they cannot run away from. They run away from God that they cannot run away from, like Adam. Genesis chapter 3. Adam and his wife committed sin. And in verse 8, they heard the voice of God, the Lord, of God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. From the presence of the Lord. Where will you go from the presence of the Lord? And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where are you? And Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. When you live in sin, you are living in fear. Because I was naked, I hid myself. Where will you run away from? You can't run from God. Psalm 139. David said, if I go to the deepest of the deep, is there. If I go to the highest mountain, is there. Stop running away from God that you cannot run away from. In verse 8, where will I run away to? Anywhere I am, God is. Stop hiding. Come out of sin. Come out of iniquity. Naked yourself before him. If you have offended, tell him, I'm sorry, I've offended. Forgive my sin. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall obtain mercy. Number three, cost of ungodliness. Number four, rather, is blockage of access to divine favor. Righteousness attracts favor. Psalm 5, verse 12. Joseph is an example. Favor came to him because he maintained righteousness. Genesis chapter 39, verse 9. As the wife of his master pursued him, he answered her, there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? You know, our world today have redefined sin. We have redefined it in many ways. Somebody will lie and call it slip of tongue. It's a slip of tongue. I didn't really mean that. What I meant is this. The Bible says, let your answer be either yea or nay. Wallahi akaniabun. Yea and nay. Anything beyond that is sin. Let your word be straight. Don't lie and define it as white. All lies are black, no matter who is saying it. Somebody committed adultery. And you know what people say? It's because the husband is not around. Slap him, slap that fellow and clear him off. Are you the only one whose husband is not around? What kind of a year wife are you that can't keep the covenant with your husband? Sin is wickedness, according to the definition of the Bible, through a man in the Old Testament, Joseph. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. That brought him into favor. In the same chapter, verses 4 to 6, his master favored him. But how do you deal with the forces of ungodliness? Simple. You deal with those forces by exercise. You exercise your spirit man. You engage the forces available to you. Exercise yourself. Or rather, unto godliness. Just as it is in the physical, everybody has muscles, but it is the exercise of the muscles that determines the product of the muscle that we call strength. Strength is born out of exercise of your muscles. Strength is rated according to exercise. You can do so much, but until you begin to exercise yourself, you don't know how much you can do. So also spiritually, we are loaded with abilities and capacity and strength to overcome the devil. Every believer can overcome the devil, and all devils are overcomable, but you got to exercise yourself. Challenges will come, but you got to exercise yourself to be declared the victor. Exercise. An exercise means to work out your victory. To work it out. Listen to me. The same Holy Ghost in you is the same in me. Why do we have different rating of victory? Perhaps I'm exercising myself more than you do. Which follows? If you exercise yourself the way I exercise myself, you will assume the level that I have assumed. Stop dodging. Stop complaining. Two people go into the weight lifting room. One of them is exercising to lift it. The other one says, this thing is too difficult to lift. For his excuse, he becomes excluded. The other person is there lifting and exercising. He's able to lift 50 kg. The other one is still struggling with 5 kg. Why? He's running away from exercise. You see, everybody who lives in sin is simply running away from exercise. God knows, say, I don't try now. You know, this world, I dey weak. I no feel resist like other people they resist now. You know, the way my body they move sometimes, it just move me anyhow. You don't want to exercise yourself. That's your problem. You don't want to exercise yourself. You know what you are doing. You are enjoying that thing secretly. You are enjoying it. You are enjoying that thing secretly. You are enjoying it. Permit my grammar, please. You are enjoying it. That's why you are not exercising against yourself. You took that stick of cigarette again. You look at it. Okay, the last one. Instead of squeezing it and dropping it, I'm binding the devil holding you down. You rose from your house 1 kilometer away to that brothel. As you are going, your conscience is telling you, don't go there. Instead of resisting and stopping and turning back, you know how you drive your all the way from Karu to go to Zimbabwe, because according to you, now that woman knows how to brew burukutu very well. And when you reach Maraba, there was traffic, and the spirit said, I created this traffic so you can go back. He said, no, I will soon get there. Just the last one. Got the last one. Just Kagani Abongo. The last one. The last one. And I shall one nayanzu Babu Kuma. Amen. You don't want to exercise yourself. That's the problem. And the only way to be out is just the simple exercise yourself. Now, quickly, three ways to exercise yourself. Lay aside every weight and every sin that easily comes your way. Push them aside. Block the little corners. What should a sailor do to block water from entering the ship? Seal it up. Block it. Seal it up. There are things many of us know we can do to stop sin, but we are not doing it. You know it. Those telephone numbers that you can easily block, you refuse to block them. Those contacts that you should wipe off your phone. And when the person calls you again, you pretend. Hello, who is that? You know the person. You know the person. I've been looking for you. Hey, is that so? Me, I didn't know. So when can we meet? Anytime you say now. You know, block all those avenues. I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to someone here. Block it. Lay aside. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. Lay aside. In order to strive, according to verse 4, you strive against sin. Lay aside. Lay them aside. Romans 13, 14. Put off the hold, put on the Lord Jesus, and make no provision to the flesh. You see, this flesh, you give it 1 inch, it will take 1 kilometer from you. Just a little taste of wine, then before you know, you take one bottle and two bottles until you become a drunkard. Lay aside when you go to supermarket. What are your legs doing where they are selling wine if you are not interested? You get to the place where they are selling wine and you just stood before it and checking the bottle. Now, one drink? You're checking it. Yeah, this one is 5% alcohol. It's not too much. It's not too much. It's not too much. Satan said, touch it. Say, buy it. It's good for your blood. Buy it. Take it to your bedroom. You know, you have one small fridge in your bedroom, so nobody will know in the night. So you take it and put it in your small fridge. And 12 midnight, you lock the door. It is well. It is well. Amen. You know, so block all those avenues. Don't carry your leg to where they are selling wine if you are not interested. If you know there is a place where you pass and the smell of drugs enter your nose, don't pass that place again. Don't pass that place again. You know what to do. You know. I know you know what to do. It's just because you don't want to do it. You know what to do. Number two, flee all appearance of evil. Run. You see, there are sometimes people want to just tempt you by all means. So they will keep pursuing you. Like the wife of Joseph's master, she pursued him. There are men who are pursuing you. Fornication pursuing you. Money pursuing you. You need to flee. Run. Where they are pressing on you to take bribe. Run. Many years back, one of our elders who was in some top government position, his colleagues were taking land from people, collecting land from people, confiscating land and allocating to themselves. They were pushing him to take his own. He said, no, I'm not interested. They said, you would die in poverty. You know how people tell you in the world? You would die. You will not have a car to ride. Your cloth will wear on your neck. We are telling you how to make it. You say, no, I will not. I don't want it. He ran away from them. Can I tell you something? There are only few of those people who are still alive today. Many of them have died. Many of them took poison. I don't mean physical poison. What they took ended as poison in their lives. Many of them have died. What is in this world that you are dying for? Is it money? Doesn't money finish? Is it the car? Does the car get old? Is it the house? Doesn't houses get out of fashion? What are you looking for? Flee! All appearances of evil. Flee! Flee! Run! Run for your life! Many of us have had to run. Run. When you see evil, physical evil, run at you. Hide yourself. Don't say, I'm powerful. Yes. I'll go and prove how powerful I am. Ask Samson. And number three, very powerful. Change your friends. Change your friends. I beg you, make una change your friends. How can you look at a drunkard and say, this is my best friend? Abba. Abba. How can you refer to a 419 as your best friend? They said, this man is not good. He said, this doesn't matter. He's my best friend. Wallahi, he's my best friend. That's my best friend. A sinner, your best friend. You can't find friends in the church. You can't find friends in the church. You say, that's the person I want to marry. You can't find somebody to marry in the church. The guy is holding cigarettes in one hand and holding the bottle of the drink in another hand. He said, who is that person? He said, that's the man I want to marry. You need to clean your brain. Somebody moving very carelessly in the society, in the community, having no job, having no direction, and you are pursuing the person. Flee. 1 Timothy 6:10-12, change your friends. 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communication corrupts good manner. Change your friends. Change your friend. Mind who you walk with. Mind where you stand. Mind where you sit. Parents, guide your children away from evil people. I want to thank God for my biological father who didn't allow me to play careless. There are dresses he will not allow me to wear. I was wondering, what kind of life is it? I can't dress like other young people. He will not allow me to. Check your children. Nobody you born them. You know if you talk to them. You know if you talk to your child, where they come home at 12 midnight. We live in a world today where people are just leaving things to chances. Change your friends. Change your friends. In order to secure your destiny. Now listen to this. No matter how loaded a seed is, if you plant it in the wrong soil, it will die. For instance, if you carry Benue yam, very good yam, and you take it to Maiduguri to plant it, it has already died. Why? The soil there is not good for the yam. Am I right? The yam has no problem. In the same way, you don't have problem, but you went to plant your life in the wrong company. Your company will always influence you. Your relationship will make you or mar you. It will make you live or make you die. Mind your company. Now, receive grace to exercise yourself. Receive grace to exercise yourself. Receive grace to exercise yourself. Many years ago, as I was preaching this way, One man who used to drink heavily, according to him, he was a panebiter. Every evening, whatever profit he made, he would go and drink and take pepper soup. So he had me and he changed his mind. He was not having a house of his own. He began to save the money and started building his house. Before you know it, he built a 2-bedroom flat from the money he was using for drinking and all of that. He exercised himself. There are people sitting there perhaps this morning. You know how that you are wasting resources here and there until age catches up with you. The same house where you are living. You got married there. You born all your picking there. All your picking got married there. Two of them are hanging with you because they saw the way you are living. They are hanging around you. Receive grace to exercise yourself. Now, receive your healing today. Listen to this. God told me this morning. He said, I have put my word in your mouth for the healing of my people. Therefore, every word I speak to you now is bringing healing to you. Every word I speak to you now is bringing healing to you. God's word is the channel for God's healing. He sent his word. So I am sent with the word of God to you today. I don't care what disease, what sickness around you. One word is enough. Matthew 8:16. Jesus was casting out devils by his word, and he was healing them. He cast out devils, and he healed all that were sick. One word is enough for your healing. Therefore, as you receive this word, receive your healing right now. Luke 6:17. They came to him to hear and to be healed. You are here hearing me. Everybody who can hear can be healed. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Therefore, say with me, I'm receiving my healing. As I am hearing, I am receiving my healing. If you are hearing, say, as I am hearing, I am receiving my healing. Listen to this. In the world of the spirit, everything hears. Everything hears. Now, I can perceive some of you are standing in for your relations right now. I'd like you to check the time right now. This is about 10 a.m. this morning. I want you to call them when you get home. They will tell you that about that time, 10 a.m., they receive their healing in the name of Jesus. When we speak, the air we breathe hears the word and takes it to wherever. Because Jesus spoke concerning one child one day. He said, go home, your child is made whole. And the man got home and found the child to be made whole. And they inquired what time. And they told the man it was so time. The time that Jesus spoke. You will not get healed tomorrow. You are getting healed right now. Say with me again. I'm hearing the word. And I'm receiving my healing. Wave your hand and say bye-bye to sickness. Glory to God forevermore. The price for your total health has been fully paid. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. I will that your entire being, verse 25, 23 rather, 23. Your spirit, your soul, and body. God is interested in your trying being. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, your soul, and body be preserved. Your body, say with me, my body, is preserved. 1 Corinthians 6:20. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Sickness does not glorify the body. Glorify God in your body, which are God's. Whatever is not glorifying God in your body, sickness, disease, affliction, pains, diabetes, hypertension, arthritis, and all kinds of stroke, whether mild or serious one, temporal, momentary, and terminal sickness and diseases, I command that they bow in the name of Jesus. Every word you are receiving is conveying to you healing this morning. God's word is spiritual capsules. When you receive it, it dissolves life into your system. And I know that's what's happening with you right now in Jesus' name. By salvation, you have become a lively stone. Stone cannot be injured. You cannot injure stone. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. That's who you are. Healing is your right in redemption. Healing is not what you beg for. It is already your right. Healing is your right. Once you are born again, healing is your right. It's the same package. The one who saved you is the one who healed you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, for he forgiveth your iniquity and healeth your diseases. The same package. Psalm 103, verse 3. Your Savior is your healer. Your Savior is your healer. Your Savior, he forgiveth your sin. And in the same package, he healed your disease. Sickness came with sin. So once sin goes, healing comes. So it is your entitlement. It is your entitlement. That's why the Bible describes as the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. Matthew 15:26. And your father is the one who keeps the bread. He provides for you. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8. If a man provide not for the people of his house, he is worse than an infidel. God is the owner of the house. You are his child. Will he not give you bread? If you ask for him, will he give you stone? No! Say with me, healing is my right. You will not beg for healing again. Now, how do you obtain your healing? Because instant healings is taking place right now. Did you hear the testimony of this man? He came to church like this November last year during healing banquet, during anointing service. The child had been complaining of air problem, went out of the church, anointed the child. 1 year after, or about 1 year after, 10 months now, that pain had left. God will do for you today what you will remember the next 10 years. If Jesus started, the next 20 years, you'll be celebrating your health. Wave your hand and say, bye-bye to sickness. You will never see it again. You will never suffer it again. Affliction will not rise again in your life. Now, how do you obtain your healing? Number one, refuse to accept that you have sickness. Say with me, I don't have sickness. This is where many people miss it. I have headache. I have stomach ulcer. Why? Because when I don't eat, it will be hurting me. When did you become a doctor? I have tuberculosis. You say, why? Because I'm coughing too much. I have HIV. You say, why? I'm going to toilet too much. Don't have what God does not say you have. Don't steal what God has taken away from you. Don't call what God has driven away from you. You may have feelings, that does not equal sickness. Symptoms are signs of sickness. Symptoms is the door knocker seeking your permission. Can I come in? He knocks your head and it aches. Satan is only taking permission, waiting for you to say it before he will give you full blown. Knock the head. I have headache. So I said, bring the load of headache. Bring the load. And from that moment, the headache intensifies. But when he knocks, no! In the name of Jesus. You have seen hawkers selling bread, selling orange, selling carrot, selling all kinds of things. When you turn your eye like this, even before you speak, I'm sorry. No! Clear off! We're sorry. They don't come back again. But when you look like you like it, how much is this? They pursue you. Don't buy sickness again. Do you have sickness? Somebody's mind is arguing right now. How can I say I don't have what I know I have? As he's talking right now, the thing is really moving in my stomach. I know the thing is somewhere. That strange object is, in fact, the more he preaches, the more the thing is moving inside me now. So it's really moving inside me. That's why the thing has remained there. How can you say you have what Jesus took away? Matthew 8, 16 and 17. You are making him a liar when you say I have. When the evil was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed of devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word, just like I'm doing right now, and he healed all that were sick. Why? That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities. He took. I hope you know I'm not the one who wrote that scriptures. Do you believe the Bible? Is that part of your Bible? What did he say? He took. How can you say you have? When he took, how can you say you have? When he took, are you making him a liar? And making yourself the person telling the truth? It is a fact that you have it, but it is not truth that you have it. Feeling is a fact. And fact will want to erode the truth. The truth says he took. The fact says you have. What do you believe? You shall know the truth. You shall stand by the truth. You shall speak the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Say loud, amen. One of our ladies here, herself and the husband, they were waiting on the Lord for the blessing of the womb. And they went to a doctor in Germany. And the doctor said, from the what I've seen, your husband doesn't have sperm. And the man called the wife. He said, their machine is faulty. Their machine is faulty. The machine is lying. When they returned, the wife conceived. And they have their child. Science is good, but false in the face of truth. When you compare the scriptures with science, science is inferior. I respect our doctors, very powerful, knowledgeable, who took time to study to know about the human system, and they are doing their job, and we commend them for it, and we support them, but I will not agree with them. On what basis? On the basis of the scriptures, which cannot lie. I'm not saying you should fight them all. If you have not discovered what we have discovered, just submit your buttock to injection. If you don't have the money, I will pay the bill for you. So that after you recover, you can now sit down properly to learn what I'm talking about. I don't want trouble. There are people who say, I won't take medicine. That's not faith. I won't take medicine. That's not faith. It's just religion. No, I won't take medicine. I won't take it again. Those who have faith don't speak like that. You will see that the word is coming out of their mouth, not their feelings. There are some people who, when I see them and they say they won't take medicine, I call the doctor on one side. Please help me inject this person. I'll pay for him. So when he recovers, I can now teach him proper faith. because the way I say it, you know, Jesus saw people and he perceived they have faith. I'm saying this also to mean that when you use medicine, you have not committed sin. It's just that you can do without it. Please hear me very well. I'm not here condemning anybody. People ask me, do you use medicine? I said, that's the wrong question. Ask me, do I get sick? Because nobody takes medicine when he's not sick. I'm not taking medicine because I'm not sick. Not because I'm, you know, promoting religious, you know, by God. No. I mean, why would I take drugs when I'm not sick? So I'm not condemning those who take it. But I'm saying that you can live better. It's better to eat salad than to drink chloroquine. That's why your children, you tell them to take drugs, they go under the carpet and hide it. You say, have you taken it? You say, yes, mommy, I've taken it. Yes, mommy, I've taken it. Because it is bitter. But when you give him sweet, when you give him a Capri Sun, when you give him, you know, all those stuff, you see him jumping and leaping. You will never suffer sickness again in your body. You will never suffer affliction again in your body. Beware of your mouth. Don't ensnare yourself. Never say again, I'm sick. That's why the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. God is aware that a day will come when your body will be telling you you are weak. He said, don't agree with your body. In the midst of your weak feeling, you will open your mouth and say, I am strong. I'm feeling my body is saying something, but I am strong. All of us have felt that way before, but we will not say, my body will not dictate to me, I will dictate to my body. Hallelujah. Family, reject sickness. Family, you don't nurse sickness to go. You resist and fight sickness to go. I shall not die but live. One woman stood like that and rescued the husband. The husband was telling the wife, you know, the things to do. The wife said, no, you won't die. Who will you leave me with? So the woman brought the man, and I agreed with her. I said to the man, who will your husband, your wife? Where are you running to? Who will pay children's school fees? Stay here, my friend. The man jacked up and refused to die. Somebody shared testimony this morning. He said he just suddenly became, you know, blocked off. The wife took the anointing oil. That's what we should be doing in our families. Take the oil. You foul devil, you can't touch my husband. You foul devil, you can't touch my wife. You foul devil, you can't touch my children. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. From today, no more sickness in your family. I destroy every hereditary sickness and disease right now. Give God a big hand. Are you still sick in your body? Let the devil hear you very well. Are you sick in your body? As you are declaring it in church, so it will follow you home. Now, remember, when sin comes, sickness will follow. You know what has been keeping you in hiding that has even doesn't want you to come to church. They begged you to come to church today. It's not because you didn't want to. Your sin is driving you away from God. There are things you are doing. I'm not accusing you, please. I'm speaking to you as the Spirit of God is speaking to you. There are things you are doing. You know you don't like it. You are held down by sin. You want to be free this morning. You want to call on Jesus. Have mercy on me. Save me. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are people here this morning who want to surrender to Jesus. You are tired of the way you are living. Let's pray together. Will you please stand to your feet? You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to forsake your sin. You want to live right for God and with God. I know you want to. Don't let the devil give you any excuse right now. Don't make any excuse. Don't justify yourself. Take a step. Come to the altar right now. Let's pray together. I love you with the love of Jesus. Don't leave anything behind. Carry your Bible. Carry your bag. Carry your telephone. Carry the package they gave to you if you have received yours. Church, won't you get excited? Jesus is saving many, many souls this morning. God bless you. God bless you. My wonderful friends, run down here. My good sisters and brothers, run down here. God will not condemn you. The church will not condemn you. I will not condemn you. God loves you. Come and receive salvation. Don't sit down. Others have left you behind. Jump up quickly. Jump up quickly. Jump up quickly. Can you see a woman running down? Help me clap for her. God will honor you. I can see some young men running down as well. Run down. Don't wait for anybody. If your friend does not want to come, leave your friend behind. I am going to make heaven. I'm going to make heaven. I'm going to follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I know you will not waste time. Indecision is time waster. There are people who are still seated. Your mind is telling you, go to that pastor. Move very quickly. Something else is telling you, don't go. That's the devil talking to you. Will you listen to the devil more than you listen to God? Your maker is calling you. Your destroyer is saying, don't go. Will you listen to your destroyer? Will you listen to your destroyer? There are people who are still seated here. I know your mind is here. Don't say, when I get home, I will pray. That's the devil talking to you. He doesn't want you to make this decision. Wherever you are still seated. Others have left you behind. Stand up now. I mean now. I mean now. I mean now. Now. Stand up now. Come. 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 There are those who are backsliding, or you are backsliding. You know you are backsliding. You know it. You don't like to hear it when somebody tells you. You have been arguing. Hey, what do you mean? Hey, I still go to church now. You are arguing. Even before you came to church this morning, you argue with somebody. Hey, yes, I still go to church now. How can you say I'm a sinner? How are you looking at me like a sinner? That's the devil deceiving you. Wherever you are, I know we have about 10 people like that here this morning who need to jump up, who need to come to the altar. If you are one of them, stand up quickly. And if you are coming, hasten your step down here. Tell the devil to leave you behind. Tell the devil to leave you behind. Church, get excited. Give Jesus a big hand. It's worthy of our praise. Now, all of you who are hard here, put your right hand on your heart. Pray this sincere prayer with me. Jesus will receive your prayer right now. Bow your head and pray loud. Say with me, Lord Jesus. Make it louder, please. A little louder. Say it again, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Save me today. Wash my sins away. Make me a child of God. Give me joy and peace. Give me your power. Give me your salvation. I want to live for you. I won't follow the devil again. I won't live in sin again. I will not follow the world again. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we receive these souls into your kingdom, and we know the devil has no more power over them. In Jesus' precious name. Are you happy you prayed this prayer? Are you happy you prayed this prayer? It's a new day for you in Jesus' name. Please go with our church officials from the middle to my right. Kindly go this way, and all the others, go the other way. Church, a big hand for Jesus. Jesus the Savior. Jesus the Healer. Jesus the Savior. Jesus the Healer. Jesus the Savior. Jesus the Healer. Jesus the Savior. Hallelujah. To God be the glory forever. All of you who are a part of soul winning, whatever is lost in your life shall be fully restored to you. All of you that is a part of reconciling the world back to Jesus, whatever is taken from you shall reconcile back to you. If you are watching us live from anywhere, do what you find on the screen out there. If you gave your life to Jesus, quickly send a message to us so that we can put you on our prayer list and join you all of the time, lifting you up before the altar and the throne of grace so that God can keep you strong in the faith in Jesus' precious name. Say loud amen, somebody. Say louder amen. To him be the glory forever. All of us who have gotten people saved through our effort, please continue to nurse them until they are fully established in the faith. Take them to Bible school. Take them to Villas Foundation class. After this class, after this service, take them to Winner Satellite Fellowship. Lead them to take counseling for those of them who may need counseling, including yourself. And keep bringing them to church. God will honor you as you do so in Jesus' name. How many of you are happy this morning to hear the good news that Canaan land was opened 21 years ago, 21 years after? The power of God is on the increase, grace is on the increase, everything is working. And so shall they continue to work in your life. It's also prophetically declared that after every 7 years, there shall be a release declared. This is the third 7 years that we have spent in Canaan land. Therefore, your life and destiny is released into new dimension of blessing. Please join me. Let's give thanks to God together for God's servant, Bishop Oyedepo, the apostle by this commission, and the wonders of Canaan land. Let's thank God. Let's thank God. Let's thank God with me. Thank God with me. Thank God with me for the wonders of Canaan land. The same that we are seeing right here, even in Goshen and in all other churches.